Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Calvary. We're glad to see you here. Many of you weren't here last week, so we're glad you're back. We missed you. We're still missing some, so if you see somebody that's missing, direct them back toward home. So we hope you've had a great week. We're continuing this week in our study in the book of James. I don't have any announcements today? Okay, good. Next Sunday's Mother's Day. So make sure you're here for that. We've got some special things planned. But as we prepare for worship this morning, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for loving us and for placing us in a place where we can come into your house and worship. And Father, we give you this time. We ask that you cleanse our hearts and our minds. Let our worship be pure. Let your spirit be free. And let us come into your presence. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. If you'll take your hymnals and stand and sing with us as we worship.
From above, because of mercy, with
Father, we pray that you give us everything that we need to trust you more. And as we stop and pause as we worship you, Father, I pray that as we focus on your word this morning, that you will make us more than listeners. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. Be seated. As we continue through the book of James this morning, we're coming to a passage of Scripture where James is challenging us to be listeners and doers. We're pretty good at listeners. We'll sit here and we'll listen. But God wants us to do more than that. He wants us to be doers, and we're going to focus in on that. But what that takes is our trusting in Him and our willingness to give Him all of everything that we are and everything that we have. And I pray that our focus this morning will be on giving Him all.
Hymn 595.
Jesus, Lamb of God.
Pray with me. Father, as we open your word, the book of James, I pray that you would reveal yourself to us. Let us be more like you. I pray that the words spoken would be yours and our ears would be sensitive to hear, that we would discern your message and follow your teaching. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. You know, I pick the video, the special music that plays before the message, and I pray about that, about finding something that will reinforce the message. That song, I'm sure you've heard it before. It's very old, and it won't go away, and I don't like it. I just don't like it. The message is incredible. The music just is like fingernails on a chalkboard to me. But that is one of those songs that will get stuck in your head, and I guarantee you, sometime later on today, you'll be singing that. But here's the thing about that message and about that song. If we allow it, God's Word will be the light to your feet and your path. If we allow it. Now, I don't know if there are any GPS people in here. I know Roger is. If you aren't blessed with a sense of direction, you do not understand what it's like to not know where you're going. And my grandfather, y'all remember the maps that folded this way, and then before you were finished, you had a map like this, and trying to drive looking at this. I was blessed with an incredible sense of direction. And I'm convinced you are born with it. You cannot get it if you don't have it. And you can sit me down and blindfold me in the middle of the dark, and I can point towards north, and I cannot explain it. It's just built in. But I'm telling you that your sense of direction in terms of living your life will lead you in the wrong direction if you're not following God's GPS and His Word, and let it be the light to your path. You will go off into places that you have not imagined, and not realizing how you got there, and not realizing how to get out. And the book of James is an incredible book of Scripture about daily living, just one foot in front of the other, of how God wants us to make it through this life. There are these huge moments in life, these pivotal moments that shape your life, and they're the things you remember. But in between those, there is the day by day, just step by step. We were talking about in Sunday school this morning, there are all these periods of Scripture where there's huge gaps of time that we really don't know what happened. And I can tell you what happened in between those moments are what God is teaching us in James, and that is to be faithful, to get up today and put your one foot in front of the other and keep moving. And He has a reason for it. And it could take years, and you may not even know this side of heaven. But He wants us to be faithful in the next step of life. And that's what James is about. And if you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of James. We're at chapter 19. I mean, we're at verse 19 in chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 19 and 20 to get us started. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen. Don't you wish your kids were that way? Quick to listen. And it doesn't change when they get older. They just quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. We could camp on that. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. My grandfather spent most of his life in politics, and he never lost an election. And he had a bunch of them. And I asked him one point, I said, how are you so successful in herding cats? And that's what politics is like. Everybody's got something they want to do, and they go in all directions. And he said something to me that has stuck with me, and it is true for every area of your life and mine. And he said, don't miss this, because it's trivial, but it's important. God gave you two ears and one mouth. So do twice as much listening as you do talking. God is saying to us, you must be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Anybody ever got angry? In my younger days, I had a bad temper, I would say. Then I just got too tired. Some of y'all laugh, but you know the feeling. It just ain't worth it. What does it get you? What does it get you? It's like the story I read of a lady. She was standing in line at the airport behind another lady, and it was at the counter where out on the curb where you check your luggage. And the lady in front of her was just furious at the guy behind the counter. And she was calling him every name in the book, and she was telling him he was incompetent and he didn't know what he was doing. And the guy just stood there with a smile on his face. And she kept ranting and raving, and he kept smiling and standing there. And finally she went on her way. And the lady came to the counter, and she said, how do you put up with that kind of treatment and not say anything? And the guy grinned, and he goes, well, that lady's on a flight to New York, and her luggage is going to Los Angeles. What does anger get us? Rarely will it ever produce what you are upset about. And you can get so angry that you can't even remember what you got angry about. So why is it so important that God put it in His Word for us to be careful about getting angry? And it destroys our witness. People don't want to listen to you after you have destroyed them over nothing. It will tear up your relationships. And you will find it will drive a wedge between you to the point where you can't even remember what you got angry about. Let's keep going. Verse 21. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your life, and humbly accept the Word of God that He has planted in your heart. For it has the power to save souls. So there's some dots that we need to connect here. So He's just told us human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So, because of that, get rid of all the filth and evil in your life. What does that mean? Get rid of the filth and evil in your life. That is anything that is not godly. Because those non-godly things will produce things that are not godly. right? It's springtime. If you planted flowers and you're waiting on them to come up, right now we're fighting weeds, right? We're fighting weeds. And they come up and grow overnight. Every morning I go out and I've got a stretch on the side of my house where I pull weeds. And I pulled them all. I pulled them all. And this morning, there's more. Right? Some of y'all know exactly. And how do they grow so fast? The ungodly things in your life will grow as fast as weeds in your flower bed if you do not get rid of them. Now, what keeps us from getting rid of them? I'm convinced that one of the things that is so ingrained in us that come, you know, there's some things that come default that just happen. And I'm convinced that one of the things that comes default in us as humans is that we want justice for those that have hurt us and mercy for ourselves. Think about that for a minute. If somebody has hurt us or wronged us, we want it to be made right. We want justice for them. But when we look at all we've done wrong, we want mercy. It's like this lady who had been bitten by a dog with rabies, and it had gotten out of control. And she was on her deathbed in the hospital. And the doctor told her, there is nothing else we can do. You might want to consider making out a will if you don't have one. And she said, yeah, give me a piece of paper. And she started writing. And she wrote. And the doctor's looking at her rather puzzled. And she keeps writing. And she said, I need another piece of paper. And she kept writing and writing. And he goes, that's a mighty long will. And she said, will? She said, I'm just making a list of all the people I want to bite. You got a list like that? So get rid of all the filth and evil in your life and humbly accept the Word of God, the Word God has planted in your heart. So God has planted in you goodness and righteous. And it's got to grow. But you have to focus on it and not all the human filth and evil. So focus on the good that God has planted in your heart. It has the power to save souls. Don't get lost on that. God has planted in you the ability to speak His Word that is going to change people's lives. But if we're so focused on humanness and ourselves, they'll never hear it. So I want to ask you, because this passage of Scripture is about getting up and doing. We're really good at listening to God. We may not even listen to other things, but we come here, we sit, we listen, we'll read His Word, we listen. But there's a disconnect for us at times in doing. You've heard, why aren't you doing it? I mean, let's be honest. If we were doing it, this room would be full. This room would be full. So what's keeping us from doing it? Turn with me to the book of Numbers. I want to take you through a story that you know, but it's a story about us as humans. We've seen God do incredible things in our life, and we will forget them in the blink of an eye. Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to start reading it at just verse 1 and 2 to lay out the story. The Israelites have been led out of captivity. God has delivered them from all the evil of being slaves. And they have been in the wilderness grumbling and griping because God didn't do it the way they wanted it done. Anybody ever grumbled and griped at God because He didn't do what you wanted Him to do the way He wanted to do it? The Lord said to Moses, verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, send some men to explore the land of Cana. That's the promised land. This is what they've been waiting for, which I am giving to the Israelites. Remember that. He told them from the start, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give it to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of the leaders. So let's lay the story out. They are just over the mountain, about to go in to this promised land. God says, send 12 men up there. Check it out. Now, why do you think He did that? To send 12 up there. He's already told them, I'm going to give it to you. This was not for His benefit that He's sending these 12 dudes up there. This is for theirs. So skip down to verse 27. They went, now they've come back. Okay? They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is the fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. Okay, you following this? I'm giving you this. Go up there and check it out. It is everything God said it would be, but you've said that before. But God, but look at verse 30. Then Caleb silenced all the people because they got in an uproar over the fact that these people were very large and the cities were fortified. Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up there and take possession of the land, for we certainly can do it. Caleb says, God said it's ours, let's go get it. Let's go get it. These other 10 of them said, there ain't no way. Them people are too big. It's too hard. We can't do it. Now remember, God told them from the beginning, and they lost sight of it. Turn over to chapter 14 and verse 24. Because what has happened is they said, we can't do it. And God came back and said, but because God has told them, y'all not going. Okay? Y'all not going. None of y'all will ever go in there. But because my servant Caleb had a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land he went, and his descendants will inherit it. So follow this picture. They got right to the cusp of what God wanted to give them, and they wouldn't go any further. And Caleb said, let's go. And God said, he has a different spirit. What is your spirit? Do you focus on God or everything else? Because you cannot focus on both. And if you are focused on life and all of the obstacles and all of the things that can go wrong and all of the battles and the hills to climb, you will get right on the cusp. And God will say, you're not going any further. because you don't have that spirit, that wholeheartedly following me. Can you imagine what you or I or anybody else has missed out on because they didn't follow God wholeheartedly? God's not interested in my doubt in Him. He wants my trust in Him. Let's go back to James. James chapter 1, verse 23. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing in the mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what it looks like. So here's what God's saying to us. If you listen, the Israelites listened, and then they forgot because they got focused on life, and it was too hard and too big. And what they forgot to focus on was God. And God is bigger and stronger and mightier than any obstacle that I could face. And I've heard this explained like this, and I don't understand it because I've never been in this situation. But I heard the story about a naval pilot. And he was flying back to the carrier to land, and he got a case of vertigo. Now, if you've ever had vertigo, which I haven't, thank goodness, things get cattywampus in a hurry, okay? And for a pilot, this is deadly, okay? If y'all remember back in the late 90s, John F. Kennedy Jr. crashed his plane. And they're pretty sure he did it because he got disoriented. Now this naval pilot, who with this case of vertigo, he looked out the plane and saw one thing. And he looks at his instruments and he sees another. Okay? Because he was trained to fly by the instruments. So he's thinking, I'm right side up. And he's looking at his instruments, and they're telling him, you're upside down. So he has a decision to make. Is he going to follow his instincts, what he sees, or is he going to rely on his instruments? He relied on his instruments because he lived to tell the story. And he followed what the instruments said, even when he was so disoriented, he could not find his way. That's what God's word is to us. When you get so disoriented with life, you cannot figure out what God is doing and why and which way should I go next. God's word is the light to your path. And sometimes all God wants you to do is take one more step. One more step. But I have to trust Him enough to know what I'm seeing on the instrument panel is completely different than what I'm seeing and perceiving. And I have to trust the instrument panel. Otherwise, you're fooling yourself. Because I can promise you, if you haven't crossed this path yet, you will. And many of you have many times. There are times when life does not make any sense and you have no idea what God's doing. In fact, you think He left. He didn't. You're disoriented. So follow His word until your orientation clears up. Look at verse 25. But if you look clearly into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do not If you do what it says and don't forget what you've heard, then God will bless you for doing it. The Israelites forgot. They got focused on how hard it was ahead. What God is wanting us to do is to trust Him with every step of our life, to know that He has plans for us. I heard this explained in a little story that is so incredibly cute and is so poignant to this point. Back in the days of a general store, some of y'all remember what a general store is, a mother took her small kid in there every Saturday to get her supplies. It was a small town. Everybody knew everybody. And every Saturday, this little boy she took in there was very rambunctious and outspoken. And when he went in the store, he was very quiet and was behaved. And before they would leave, as she would pay, the owner would hand a jar of candy to the little boy and say, "Reach in and get you a handful." And the little boy would stand there with his hands in his pockets and say, very shyly, "No, thank you." And so then the shop owner would reach in there and give him a handful of candy and put it in his hand. And he would say, "Thank you," and they would leave. And one day the mother said, "You are so outspoken. Why won't you reach in for candy when he asks you?" And the little boy said, "His hand is bigger than mine." Whatever you are trying to reach for that you consider a blessing will not compare to what God wants to give you if you follow Him. Whatever your little hand will reach and grab will not compare to what God holds in His hand for you. Let's finish this. Verse 26. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in the distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. A lot of people read this and think this is about controlling your tongue and how you speak. That's coming later. That is not what this is about. What this is about is that the way I speak and the words that come out of my mouth are testament to what's really in my heart. And if my religion is what I say it is going to change how I act and what I say. So let me close with this. The average person speaks a 64-page book every day. You speak enough words in a day that if you wrote them all down, it would be a 64-page book on average. Some of y'all speak a way more than that. Okay? In 1898, there was a young man named Ben, and 8 years earlier, he had made his way west to find his fortune. He was going to be rich. 8 years he had spent, and he had done quite well. He had 300 acres of land, a farmhouse, 200 head of cattle, and he was doing all right. And he decided it was time for him to look for a bride. And so he ran an ad in the newspaper. Some of y'all might have to have an explanation of what that is. But he ran an ad in the classified looking for a pen pal. Some of y'all don't even know what that is. Looking for a pen pal that might possibly lead to marriage. There was a young lady that answered his ad, and for a year they wrote back and forth, back and forth. And they finally decided that it was time they meet, and she got on a train and came to the nearest stop to him, and he was waiting for her. And as all the people got off the train, her name was Sarah. One lady, young lady got off, and he called out to her and he said, "Sarah." She came up to him. And they greeted each other. And then she said, "How did you know it was me? I've never sent you a photograph." And he said, "I have studied every letter that you sent me. And they painted a perfect picture of who you are." And he said, "The moment I saw you, I knew it was you." If you are speaking a 64-page book every single day of your life, you are painting a perfect portrait of who you are to those who hear you. And what James is telling us in this passage of Scripture is that God wants us to be more than listeners. He wants us to be doers. And when we get up and go out those doors, the words that we speak, the actions that we take, the anger that we put aside, the focus that we put on Him, and the trust that we display will paint a perfect portrait of who you are in your soul. Pray with me. Father, I pray that as we hear your word, that we be more than listeners, that we be doers. And that the portrait that we are painting for those that are around us be one that will point them toward you. Father, as we pause this moment, I pray that we reflect on our own hearts. I pray for every person in this room. I pray first that we know you. And then I pray secondly that we live for you because you died for us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.